he took along my theme here, didn't he? All right, take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 16. I'm still in the same story because I got something else I want to say here. Let's say somebody little good things in here. You know, we often learn the most in the dark days. We tend not to learn a whole lot during the good times because we're so busy enjoying the good times that we don't even think. In fact, sometimes if things are too good, we kind of forget about God all together. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, it always scares me when somebody, like, when God blesses them and they're able to get don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's wrong to have these things, but it always scares me when someone says, hey, we bought a cabin up in Potter County, or we bought a house down by the shore. We bought a house over here. And the Lord has blessed us. And it always scares me because when they do that on the weekend, and we'll just go up. We're going to go up and make some memories with the kids. Do it on Saturday. All right, because what happens is, we make memories with the kids, and the kids forget God. And then, where they actually never get to know him in the first place. And so we just got to be careful. But anyway, we got some things here we're going to repeat. So we know the story. We know that Paul and Silas have gone to Philippi, and they did some preaching, and they got Lydia and her group of ladies down by the river saved, and they were out preaching on the street, and a crazy lady kept going around and telling them, these are the people, they worship the great high God, and you know, and so forth and so on. But of course, that was bad PR. And so finally, Paul was so grieved, so upset with that thing, he finally turned around and cast the demon out of the girl. Well, the fact is, a girl was making money. She was actually being trafficked, really, literally being trafficked by some men. And she would tell the future, at least what they thought they were. And of course they didn't pay her, they'd pay the men, and the men would give her food or something. You know, at least she wasn't living on the street. Who was going to give a crazy lady a place to live? So they would, if she would go out and do this. So they put a roof over her head and give her some food, and almost like a pet. And they were taking the rest of the money and put it in their pocket. Well, when he cast out the demon, they lost their money. They lost their business. And so they accused him of teaching things that was unlawful to be said. And that's really not the case. But you know how it is, politicians. Well, I don't want to make our people mad. And we don't know who these guys are, so we'll just throw them in jail. So they throw them in jail and said, put them in the inner prison. That'll make everybody happy. And so they put him in the inner prison. Of course, while they're in prison, verse 25 of chapter 16, at midnight, Paul and Silas, watch, prayed and sang praises. And we talked about that last week, because praying and praising is preaching. They prayed and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are here. That's as far as I'm going to read, because that's all we really need to know this evening, because there's a little spot, and I want you to see verse 25 one more time. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Now, last week we talked about, and the prisoners heard him. And so there was some good about the praying and the praising for the good of people around them. But I want to see something else here. I think that sometimes Christians feel like, all right, I'm having troubles, so I'm going to praise the Lord. When everybody know, I praise the Lord. You know, here I am, I'm praising. And is it possible that at midnight in the inner jail, which meant down in the pit, with all the excrements of the previous prisoners, that Paul and Silas was actually from the heart praising the Lord. Do you know the Lord is good even when things are bad? Did you know the Lord is good when everything looks bad for you? When it looks like you're meeting your demise, did you know the Lord is good? The Lord hasn't changed. The Lord is good all the time. That's right. Some of you have heard that. The Lord is good all the time. I like that song. God's been good in my life. Yeah. Well, I want to talk about something here this evening. We're going to pray. We're going to talk about praising brings the promises. Now, just kind of hang with me here. Father, thank you so much for your word. And thank you for the truths that are in it. And sometimes these little truths are very subtle, and we can just read right on by them. Why in the world did Paul and Silas praise and pray in that inner prison? I don't think they were doing it for the people they listened to it. That was just a happenstance. So, Lord, give us your wisdom here. Give us your insight. Help us to see things as you see them. Lord, sometimes we feel like we're in a dark place, we're in a hole, everybody's against us. Lord, you're still good. And I'm glad that you are. So speak to us here this evening, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I know I've spent a good time on this passage, but this is a very dramatic event in church history. And if you think about what actually occurred, it would be a very traumatic thing to actually experience. These people would say that it would cause PTSD. And yet Paul and Silas came out of it ready to serve the Lord in an even greater way. I'm serious here. Today, if somebody had been put in the jail, given three hot meals a day and a TV to watch, they've been traumatized. I'm not making light of it, but I don't want to go through it myself. But somehow Paul and Silas are whipped. Naked and whipped. They're taken to a jail, put in the inner prison, stuck in the mud, and everything else is down there. Chained probably to the wall, because when the wall shook, it came loose. With a soldier outside. And their response was praising the Lord. I don't think they put on the praise. I think they actually knew the Lord well enough that they praised him. I'd be honest with you, if they knew my wife, I think they would say, well, this is going to be interesting. Because that's what she always says when everything looks totally impossible. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what the Lord's going to do. I think they learned from this experience not to run from serving the Lord, and not to distrust the Lord, but to trust the Lord more and more. In Paul's letter back to the church of Philippi that would be organized there, he wrote in Philippians 4:11, he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." I know both how to be abased. That's yeah. and I know how to abound. I was going to say understatement. That's the word I was looking for. He knows how to be abased. Well, you think? And I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. I'm not saying you all didn't help me out along the way. I appreciate it. But the fact is, the Lord is good. Romans 5:3, I have quoted this passage many times. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now listen, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Why would it be? Why would they have hope? Because God has seen them through and brought them out the other side and given them victory. That's why. Listen, you go through it and you don't have the victory, you don't have hope the next time you go through these things. James 1:2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Same basic thing, the same, just in a different words. We hear in all these scriptures, and yet when the trials come, we often allow the negative events of our life to steal our joy, to steal our hope in Christ. We become fearful of life itself. We have difficulty living life because we fear that there is a danger waiting for us right around the corner. Sometimes I think we forget that the God that is walking beside of us where we are is already around the corner waiting for us to get there. Well, everything's okay because he's with me, but I don't know about the around the road. He's already over there too. Nothing happens to us that God is not already there for us. Nothing goes on in our life that did not go across his desk. Isaiah 65:23 says, "They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them." Watch me, now watch me. "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." God knows what's going on. I used to think, for a long time, I had this thing in my mind, well, I wish I would have known about this before because I would have prayed about it. But it's too late to pray about it now. And then really one day when I was reading my Bible, the Bible says nothing is impossible with God. Now wait a minute, he knows the first from the last, the beginning from the end. Do you realize that if I wait till when it even looks like it's too late to pray, I pray, he can still answer because he answers before I call. That's what that scripture just said. You know what that means? He knew way back here when I needed to start the answer that I was going to pray way up here. He knew that. He can still answer. If you say, it's too late, it's not too late because he knew what you were going to do. Go ahead and pray. 2 Chronicles 16:9. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him." That's somebody who walks with God. Now, if you're not walking with God, you can't claim that promise. That's what it says. And I think sometimes we're so busy trying to create our own victory, create our own path. No, we don't need to create a new path. We just need to walk on his path. He'll restore our soul while we're walking in the paths of righteousness. He'll prepare a table before us, even before our enemies. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of the life, of our lives. And then we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But that is, we're willing to follow him on the paths of righteousness. He is the good shepherd, but so many times we don't want to listen to the good shepherd. We got better ideas of our own. Now listen, there's not much of a better way to praise God. What? Listen to me. There's not much of a better way to praise God than to trust him for who he is. Let me say that one more time. There's really no better way to praise God than to trust him for who he is. What greater praise can there be than to praise God for what he's going to do? Why do we believe he's going to do it? Because we know his character. See what I'm saying? Listen, when Dr. Smith left Open Door and went to the Sword of the Lord, Dr. Belcher became our new pastor. Now, I'll be honest with you, Dr. Smith watched everything I did. He was a micromanager. And I love Dr. Smith. I'm going to have him here to preach. But to be honest with you, I felt if I breathed too hard, I was outside the circle. Now, Dr. Belcher, when he came, totally different way of administrating. Just totally different. There should be probably a happy medium in there. So, but anyway, totally different. I went in his office, and my meeting with him, as I was the music director, assistant pastor, my meeting with him, when he first came in, he met with each of us, you know, had an appointment, and he said, "Dude, this is your good staff. You serve Dr. Smith well." A lot of times in independent fundamental Baptist churches, they assume that the pastor leaves, that all the assistant pastors have to submit their resignations. And that's so that the new CEO, so to speak, can choose his cabinet, if you will. Kind of like when a president goes out, he gets to choose his own cabinet. The cabinet goes out, the president goes out. That's kind of the way to look at it. I'm not sure that's a good way to do that, because, to be honest with you, they don't just fall in love with the preacher. I think they fall, at least around here, they take good care of our assistant pastors. You do, and I appreciate that. But anyway, he didn't do that, and I thought that was wise. In fact, I really think it would have been stupid to do that, because Dr. Smith had put a whole staff together that ran that ministry, and we were like a fine-tuned machine. Anyway, I went in for my meeting with Dr. Belcher. We talked and chatted and kind of hee-hawed a little bit there, and then basically he said this: "You're the music director. Direct. And if I don't like it, I'll let you know." That was it. And actually, I told Janet when I knew that Dr. Smith was leaving, I said, "Now, I don't mind. I mean, I served Dr. Smith. Don't get me wrong. I served Dr. Smith, and I would not be where I am without Dr. Shelton Smith. That's the honest to goodness truth." Okay? He took a long-haired guitar-playing Methodist boy and was willing to work with me and love me, train me, and use me. So I'm just grateful that he took enough time to even say hi and the time to rebuke me if he needed it. Now, however, I told Janet, I said, "Now, when Dr. Smith leaves, I'm going to be myself." Because I was what Dr. Smith wanted me to be. I wasn't really not being me, but the way he ran the platform and so forth and so on, the music he wanted to use and so forth, I said, "I'm going to be me, and if the preacher doesn't like that, I'll go someplace else and find a preacher who does. I don't think what I'm doing is really bad." That's when I started doing what I do right now. I'm doing now what I did down there, okay? And so that's when I started doing that. And so, be honest with you, I came into my own once I had a little bit of freedom. But that's a side story there. But the fact is that the Lord is trying to do some things, and he's going to do some things, and I don't even know where I got on, how I got on all that. But anyway, what greater praise can there be than to praise God for what he's going to do, because we know his character? is one thing to praise God for what he's already done, but that doesn't really take faith in him. In that case, we already have seen what God has done, and it's not faith. We're not praising him by faith, we're praising him by sight. See what I'm saying? So, but what if we were so sure of God's goodness that we were willing to praise God, knowing that whatever happens, it is for our best? Now, that's a very important statement there. Let me say, I probably should have put it on one of your points here. What if we truly, what if we were so sure of God's goodness that we were willing to praise God in whatever the situation is, knowing that whatever happens, it's for our best? What if we truly believe Romans 8:28? What if it was true that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God? And if you love me, so you're going to be loving me. Those that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. If you love God, you're trying your best to do what God wants you to. What is that? Serve him with all your heart. Now, we are to believe that God is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We can praise God for what he's going to do, even though we really don't know what he's going to do, when we truly believe his word and trust him in him, knowing that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How can one have peace in the midst of the storm? One must believe that God is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and that all things still work together for good. That's how you can have peace in the midst of the storm. It's not just some magic thing he throws on you. You want peace, you need to know who he is. Peace is in knowing him. So how could Paul and Silas sing praises? Well, I think that they believed in what God was going to do. Number one on your paper, to show faith in someone's character is great praise. Well, I know how I got on that. Dr. Belcher said, I've watched you for several years. I know you can do the job. Just do it. That was great praise. He was being irresponsible. By that time, he had seen me. I had met him before. It's a crazy way that worked there, but I met him when I was in college, and he was looking for a youth pastor, and I ended up being interviewed for a youth pastor job at his church, and I didn't even know I was being interviewed. I went over for an activity there, and Dr. Smith was there to preach, and Dr. Smith didn't think he had any money to rehire me, and so he liked Dr. Belcher even then, and I went over there to see Dr. Smith preach, and while I was there, I told Dr. Smith I was coming. I'll see him there. He talked to Belcher I was coming, and so all of a sudden, my little surprise visit at Dr. Belcher's church in Joliet, Illinois, which is where he was, became an interview. But also, he started showing me around, telling me this and that and other thing. I thought, are you looking for a staff member? Oh, yeah, I am. And anyway, so, but this, just think about that. To show faith in someone's character is great praise. For instance, letter A, praising someone in public means we're willing to put our name on the line for that person. Now, let me say this. There's a lot of people who praise everybody's name, okay? But after a while, they lose credibility because they praise everybody. You know, politicians, isn't he wonderful? Da, 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 da. You know, I hate to say it. I like President Trump's policies, and I think he's the guy to take care of it. and do the dirty work to get this thing cleaned back up. You know what I mean? You know, but be honest with you, he praises somebody this month, the next month when they turn on him, he doesn't praise them anymore. So I hate to say it, the praising part kind of has lost its zing. But anyway, if you're somebody who speaks the word and is trying to be trustworthy, and that person actually praises you in public, okay, watch me. He's putting his name online for that person. You know, that's what Paul and Silas were doing. Can you imagine? They are chained to the wall down in that pit. Now, it probably kind of echoed down in there. They could hear it coming out. And they're praising the name of Jesus when actually they look like they are totally on the losing side. They're praying to their God. They're praising their God. Listen to those guys. They were putting their name on the line for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch. If they fail, we will look foolish. In other words, if I praise somebody in public, if they fail, we're going to look foolish as if we don't know what we're talking about. I believe that many people do not publicly praise the Lord. Watch me. They do not publicly praise the Lord because they do not want to look foolish if it turns out that the way they planned on or wanted to happen doesn't happen. When things do not turn out the way we want, it doesn't mean that the Lord made a mistake or he failed us. The Lord knows better than we do. What he allows to happen is better than our plans. Remember, listen, those diverse temptations and those fiery trials. 1 Peter 4, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Well, this is another scripture says the same type of thing, doesn't watch it. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Innocent, even if we don't see the victory on this side of eternity, we can praise God knowing that whatever happens is still the best for us. Listen, if ye be reproached for the name, it goes on, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part it is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God on his behalf. Now, how do you glorify God on his behalf? Because we know the character of our Savior. And what he's going to allow to happen is best for us. Hang on. Best for us does not end when we die. Listen, when our body closes the eyes and this physical body dies, the soul just right on into the, don't be absent from the body, is present with the Lord. There's no stopping and starting. So do you realize that if what happens to me actually ends up taking my life, it's still best for me because I just slip over into eternity where I'm in heaven with him. So you say, how can I rejoice when everything's going wrong? Because either way, I win. Some of you remember Jim French. He can't get here anymore. He had a hospital. He went in the hospital, had an operation, and he's not a spring chicken. And he knew that the operation could be dangerous. And be honest with you, he was pretty concerned about it. And he studied his Bible, and he talked, and he came in, and so forth and so on. And he said it almost kind of came to a head when he was laying on the table. And he said, he told me after the operation later, he told me, he said, you know what, preacher? He said, you know what I thought I realized? No matter what happens, whether I come out alive or whether this body dies, I win. And he said he laid on that table, and all of a sudden he was telling the nurse. He was able to say, well, it's okay. Because either way, I win. And apparently he even kind of started to witness to the lady, well, do you know Jesus? Now, this is not a man who's done a lot of that, to be honest with you. But you can praise the Lord because what it means is that there's faith. But wait a minute, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So why does praising please God? Because you patted him all on his back and stroked his ego? No. Because it proves you have faith in him. It's all good. The Bible says in Romans 10, this is letter B, whosoever believeth in him, on him, shall not be ashamed, embarrassed. Now I got a whole bunch of verses here. I want to read some of them real quick. Psalm 25, 2, O God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. He says, I'm going to trust in you, Lord. And here I go. Now, wait a minute. He may have a little bit of fear and trembling, but what's faith? Action based on a promise or command of God. He said, okay, God, I'm going to do it. Don't let me be ashamed. But he did it. See what I'm saying? Now watch. 25:20. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, 31:17. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Psalm 119:116. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Isaiah 29:23, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Isaiah 50:7, for the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confused. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? In other words, God died for me and justified my presence in the presence of the Lord. So who's going to mess with me? And it says, let us stand together. Who is my adversary? In other words, I'm standing with God, and God is standing with me. So who's stupid enough to mess with me? It says, let him come near me. Come on. Let us stand together. Who's my adversary? Come on, adversary. Come on. Take care of him, Lord. He goes on. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in the darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. So if you truly fear God and you are so timid that your servant is telling you what to do and you can't see where you are going, then you need to be reminded not to fear God, but trust in God and stay your heart on him. Let me give you number two quick. Praising brings the promises. Now, letter A, to praise God before the answer comes is actually exercising great faith. You see what I'm saying? How many people have said, why do you go around saying prayers? You don't know when you're going to get your prayer answered. I said, I'm either going to get my prayer answered on the side, but I get to go to heaven. I listen, it's going to be all right. Letter B, praising in the midst of trials is exercising faith in that which God is going to do because we know his character. Now, got a little thing here. Psalm 47 says it's written to the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. This is interesting. Who is Korah? Who's the Korah that he's talking about here? Well, I won't tell the whole story, but Korah and a bunch of folks, Dathan and some other guys, came to Moses while they were in the wilderness, not really long after they were there. And they didn't like the idea that Moses was in charge. By the way, God puts people in charge in his ministries, in his economy. Was Moses perfect? Moses lost his temper. The second time he asked for water, he messed up. In fact, he says, am I going to be a water boy for a million people here? That's what I got to do? These people aren't listening to me. And yet, when God said, well, fine, I'll just kill them all, and we'll start with you. And Moses said, well, no, I didn't mean that. No, Lord, you don't want to do that. People think you can't take care of your people. No, we don't want to do that. No, that's all right. That's all right. Never mind. Never mind. Take care of the people, Lord. Don't kill off your people. And God wasn't going to kill off his people. He was just trying to pull out the heart of Moses, the pastor's heart, the shepherd's heart that was in Moses. He just kind of got in the flesh there for a little bit, and we all do, some time or another. However, Moses is the shepherd of the people. And God, don't get me wrong here, but God does put shepherds. And I'm sorry, you're stuck with me right now. I'm just saying. So we got to be careful. But anyway, Dathan and Korah and some other guys whose moms should be slapped for naming them those names, stood up to Moses and says, you know what? You take too much upon yourself. I think we need to spread this authority out a little bit. And so they kind of scolded Moses. That's not good. They scolded them. Now, they might have thought, well, they were doing him a favor, maybe. I don't know. But they were stepping into a realm they shouldn't have stepped into. And so they stood up against him. Now, you know what? When they spoke to Moses, it came to him. Moses said, you'll know whether I'm called from God or not if these people are still alive tomorrow. And sure enough, the earth opened up and swallowed up Korah and the other men and their tents and put them right down the earth. Boom. Done. But it says in Numbers, verse 26, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah when that company died. What time the fire devoured 200, and talk about all these things that happened. Now the thing is, there's another passage. I should have put that in there, I didn't. Another passage that says that the sons of Korah did not go down into the pit. God spared the sons of Korah. In other words, the people that's going to come after Korah, his posterity, if you will, his descendants. And so in Psalm 47, this says, to the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Letter C. In that psalm, it says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. The Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. You could say this, we praise God for what he shall do. He says he's the voice of the trumpet. He shall subdue the people. We're supposed to clap our hands, shout for joy, because he's a terrible, great, and mighty God, for he shall subdue the people under us. You see what this did? It's okay, because God's going to do it. Look at letter D, verse 4. Allow God to, here it is, to choose what is best for us to have. By the way, it's all a gift of God, no matter how it may seem. Everything he gives is a gift of God. Verse 4 says this. He, meaning God, shall choose our inheritance for us. The excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. Selah. Selah means think about that. So God is going to choose our inheritance. God's going to choose what's good for us. Letter E. God is prepared for the battle. Look at verse 5. God is gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Remember what he shall do. He's prepared for the battle. Letter F. It says, sing praise, but do so with understanding. Understanding. Verse 6. Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. Now watch me. Just mindless imitation and endless repetition is not what God is looking for. And in other words, though, a good show is not what he's looking for. There's the princes of the people there. We can praise God for what he shall do because God is the reigning king. We believe he is who he says he is. And we can praise God. And that's faith. Number three. Watch this. Praying with thanksgiving is faith and praising. Praying with thanksgiving is faith and praising. I think it's interesting that Paul wrote to the Philippians, Philippians 4:4, this passage. Because the Philippians saw him in jail, saw him get out of jail, saw what went on in that place. Saw that he was whipped, and Silas was whipped. And they saw him go out and preach again, to go back to send a letter and say, thank you for the goodness of you having. I see that the church grew up, and there was actually a church in Philippi. And so he writes back, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Wow. Now why could he write that to the church in Philippi? Because he did it. When he was in jail, been whipped. And by the way, just so you know, when they put him in an inner prison, I think I mentioned this before, it was usually a kind of a trap door in the floor. And they'd throw him down underneath the floor. They probably didn't have a ladder. They threw him down. So when they threw him down, I'm sure their back that was skinned with the whipping, fell right into that mess. And there wasn't a wash basin to clean up. and they praised the Lord for what he was going to do, even if it meant they were going to die right there. He didn't know. All they got to do is decide, we'll take them out and stone them. They could do that. He didn't know. We knew the end of the story. He praised the Lord because he knew that the earth was going to shake and all of them would be off and they were going to be out of here. No, they didn't know that until it happened. It was done. They were dead meat right there in that prison. For all he knows, this is it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'm telling you, I didn't say that by accident. And again, I say rejoice. Watch. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Now, the word moderation means even-keeledness, self-control, not getting all out of whack, not losing his temper, not yelling and screaming, not pointing fingers, not accusing, just, Brother Jimmy, running where it's level. That's what he always says, I'm running where it's level. That's what he's doing. Let your moderation be known to all men. Why? 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 What's it say? Did you read it? The Lord's at hand. That's why. It's all cool. God's here. Well, you might die. Okay. God's there too. Well, you might end up out there on the edge where they're going to stone you. Okay, it's all cool. God's there too. You see, wherever I am, the Lord's at hand. We've worked hard and yet we don't have enough money till the end of the month. It's cool. God's there. Don't go out and have a beer and waste your money and expect him to send it. Enough to pay the bills. I don't know what I'm talking about. If God gave you money for the rent and you spend it on cigarettes, I'm sorry. You did what you did. And God's going to let you hurt a little bit so you won't do that stupid thing again. If you can't be trusted with money, he's not going to give you much. Way too many people waste their money on cigarettes and booze and drugs and gambling and pornography. And listen, you say, well, I deserve to have a good meal. Well, fine, but if you can't afford it, you don't. If you can't afford to go down to First Post for a fancy dinner, don't go. If you can afford it, fine. Save up, take your sweetheart out for Valentine's Day. Fine. But if you can't, you can still love her in McDonald's. You know that? Remember when you were first dating? Just going out to McDonald's and having two straws in the same milkshake was the best thing in all the world. You remember those days? You both had your suckers on the same side of the, you remember those days? Well, go out and share a milkshake. Of course, they're $5 now, but anyway. But watch. Let your moderation be known. The Lord is at hand. So watch. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing. But in other words, don't be worried and crying and anxiety. Be all this. Don't listen. You don't have to take a Valium because of all this. All right? Be careful for nothing, but in everything. You know what that word means? Everything. That's right. Yeah. Everything by prayer and supplication. Watch. With thanksgiving. Well, how can I be thankful if it hasn't happened yet? I am thankful to have a God who can do anything. And I'm thankful that I have a God who's good and loves me. And I'm thankful that that God who's good and loves me always does that which is best for me. And I'm thankful for that whatever that God does will be best for me, and I will come out the other side in a better shape, however that is. Now, it may be a little trip. It may be a little trip, and I may go through the valley of the shadow of death. But where's he trying to get me to? The green pastures and the still waters. Yeah, boy. And watch. So let yourself, and with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know what he's saying? Man, I don't have time to talk to you. I need to go home and pray and give this to God. There it is, God! Phew. Got that taken care of. I've told you the story. I love the story. When we were out of Hiles Anderson, you've known that I've told the story. We didn't have any money, and this, that, and the other thing. And Sterl, my oldest son, who runs sound a lot, he's back here working with the teens tonight, was about 4 years, four and a half years old. Maybe close to five by that time. Anyway, it was. I guess he was almost five because I just lost my job, and his birthday is in February. His birthday is the 9th, by the way. That's the coming up this weekend. Anyway, kids grow. And we had these little shoes that we put on him to go to church. And they were fine when we went. But in the few months we were there, his feet grew. By the time he was 10, he had the biggest feet in the family. But anyway, we had these little shoes, and so on Sunday and Wednesday, we'd put these little dress shoes on him, put his little suit on, take him to church. And it got so bad that by the time he got his foot in the shoe that was round-toed was square. Hey, Mommy, I don't want to wear it. But they're your church shoe. Well, you can get it on another one, another way. Yeah, but then, you know. And so I'd go to school in the morning all day, come home about 3 o'clock, I study for about 2 hours, then I have to drive an hour or so for the work, and I worked all night, come back and do it again. So we'd just been to church on Sunday, and he's thinking about these shoes. He knows Wednesday coming, and he's dreading the idea that he's going to wear these shoes next Wednesday. And so he was talking to Janet, his mom, about these shoes. I'm at work, so I missed all this, but Janet filled me in. She said he was talking about these shoes. And so finally, she said, well, sweetheart, we just don't have the money to buy these shoes. I'm sorry. And he said, well, can't we pray for some? He said, well, of course we can. So that little five-year-old boy got down beside his bed. So help me. He says, Dear Jesus, my shoes don't fit. I need some new shoes. Thank you. And he got up and he did this. Exactly what he did. You know what he did? He let his needs be known with thanksgiving. You know what I think? I think he expected the shoes to show up. Do you realize the next morning, Tuesday morning, my wife was working for a minimum wage, which was not much, across the street for half a day as a cook at a daycare. She got in there. And one of the ladies who works in the daycare said, my son went to a wedding, and he had to wear these dress shoes. We don't wear dress shoes around our house. You go to church, don't you? Well, yeah. Do you want them? Well, you will let me see them. So Wednesday morning, this lady brings in these dress shoes. You think I'm lying. I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth here. I'm not preaching. I'm telling you the truth. And that was a joke. She brings in these leather, black leather dress shoes. And they were just a little bit big, like you buy for kids because you know they're going to grow. And said, here, what do you want? I don't want anything for them. Just take them. You're never going to use them. Just going to sit in the closet and until we throw them away. So would you take them? Yeah. And so he hurt his feet hurt on Sunday. He prayed on Monday. And by the time he went to church on Wednesday, he had a brand new pair of black dress shoes to wear with his suit. That's what I'm talking about. Exactly what I'm talking about. God's good. How many people will not pray and let everybody know that they're praying because they're afraid God's not going to answer and everybody's going to know? I'm not saying, oh God, give me a Cadillac. I told everybody you're going to give me a Cadillac, so you got to do it. No, I'm not talking about that. But my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. Letter B, when we are thankful for the answer while we are still praying for it, it shows faith. Number four, almost done. In order to have victory, praise must be accompanied by obedience. God is not going to bless sin. We can praise all we want, but if we truly believe God, we're also going to do as he says. True praise is doing what God has designed us to do. That means live righteously. And by the way, righteousness is not just what's on the outside. Righteousness is what's on the inside. And if it's on the inside, it'll show up on the outside. People will see it on the outside because it's on the inside. Psalm 148, praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye and waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. Now you say, well, what does that have to do with anything? I know. There's just so much good stuff in here tonight. You say, well, the sun praises him. You don't hear it. It's a figure of speech. No. It's not a figure of speech. How does a sun praise the Lord? By doing what it was created to do. Every time the sun comes up, you know what it says? God's up, God's in charge. God did it. Every time they know when the sun's going to come up. They can calculate when it's going to go down. They know the moon. They know how much of the moon's going to show and how much the moon's not going to show. They know when all of a sudden's going to line up and the moon's going to be in front of the sun and we're going to have an eclipse. They know. Why? Because God has made all things, and by him all things consist. He does what he says he's going to do. But the fact is, we praise him by doing what we were told to do. Let us see. When the heavens do as they were designed to do, it shows that there was a designer. And that shows the evidence of the presence of God that is glorifying, and that is glorifying him. We cannot glorify God and thus praise him until we are doing as we have been designed, letter D, designed to do. And we were designed to do as God says. Whoso offereth praise, Psalm 50, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. To him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. He says, listen, you associate with me, I'll take care of you. Letter E, when we praise God, we're drawing attention to God, but is God willing to watch, to associate with us? We can talk a good talk and put on a good show in the front of the church or in front of our friends, but does your lifestyle give a testimony of godliness to the point that God is willing to put his name on you by delivering you? That's what that means. What's the Psalm 50 for 23 means? When our behavior is all right, God will show his salvation. In Proverbs 15:8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is abomination to the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Praising brings the promises. Because praising means we're exercising faith. And when we exercise faith, we see him to give his promises. That's good. Well, it's late. Sorry.